And it's good to see everybody here today. It's been a while. What happened was that 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, my wife took a COVID test, and she came out positive, and so everybody had to go into isolation. And so that was the beginning of the journey of us not coming to church. And then on the following Tuesday, I ended up getting COVID, therefore I couldn't come the following week. But I'm so glad that life went on. The church didn't close. People didn't stop coming to the church. People came and the service was there available for everybody. And I'd like to thank Pastor Charlie and Steve for their messages, especially Pastor Charlie. He had only probably, I spoke to him at 2 o'clock on the Saturday to say, can you speak tomorrow? And so he did have very little time to prepare, but he came out with a good message, very encouraging message. And one of my takeaways from his message was that church is not a place you go to, it's a place you're a part of. And so we're part of a community of believers. And his story, Pastor Charlie's story on, they decided to contribute to part of our story, our future. They gave an amount that the Lord had asked them to give. But the challenge was that they were also planning to go on a family trip to Europe. But they went ahead in faith and sowed their seed. And they went on their trip. They enjoyed themselves. And most importantly, God came through for them that when they came back with extra. And so our belief is that, you know, as you step out in faith, God is going to meet you. God responds to faith. Amen. And then Steve Coppin spoke last week, and I liked his message, especially the part where it said, you have to count the cost before you build, and most importantly, build things that are manageable. And you know, and he was obviously talking about building, you know, he mentioned about buildings that have been started but not finished. And as we're going through our story, our future, this is over and above our tithes. So we give our normal tithes. Our story, our future is an offering that's above our tithes, and it's something that we do. Is this echoing? Oh, it's just me. Oh, okay. And so it's over and above what our tithes are. So do something that is manageable. Don't do things that will break the bank. And then all of a sudden, you've got nothing to eat. You can't feed your family. That's not a good thing. So what you do is that you give, but let it stretch you just a bit so you can reach out in faith. Because if I can reach this rope over here, well, I don't need faith because I can reach it. So that means that my target is just going to be out of reach a bit so that my faith can grow. And then, you know, then I can experience the fullness of God with faith. So faith is always trying to reach out to something that's just out of your reach, but it's within God's reach. And so when you and God meet, then you know that there's a response to your faith. Amen? Amen? All right. You understand, we have a young family. Well, not so young. You know, we've got our youngest 3-year-old, and we've got, you know, kids. And I think that raising children has its frustrations. There are good times, and then there's some bad times. And so the good times were probably when they're between 5 to 10 and 11-ish, throwing 12 there, you know, it was great. But then some of them have started to get into their teenage years. It's now starting to become a bit of a challenge. It's become an emotional roller coaster for us as parents. And the family becomes like a war zone where it's the kids versus the parents. Kids want to have their way. They want to eat chocolate. And I'm like, no, you cannot, because if you eat chocolate, then eventually we're going to have to take you to the dentist. And they want to watch TV until 2 in the morning. And you're like, no, you cannot do that. You've got school the next day. And so it becomes this challenge. It's like a tug of war. The kids pulling one way, the parents pulling the other. But it's amazing how God has chosen the institution of family as the vehicle by which we can raise our children so that they can grow into value-adding people. And so if we are to build things that will last with our families, one of the key things that we need to have in our homes is laughter. Our homes have to be filled with laughter. They have to be filled with love. And at the same time, they have to be filled with correction and discipline. We can't have all the sweets. Sometimes you have to have some vegetables as well. So the vegetables are like the discipline, you know, for the children. And so building things that last. We don't want to build things that are here today and tomorrow they've disappeared. We want to ensure that we're building things that are going to prepare us for life. When we were young, when they would talk about, when you grow up, you'll see that life is difficult. And I just used to roll my, you know, I just, these old people, what do they know? And so you only have to grow to recognize the frustration, you know, like what it's like to be a parent. You know, you grow up and you realize that, man, I feel sorry for my father. I feel sorry for my mother. But it's only time that will teach you about life. And one of the key things that they always used to say is that you've always got to work hard. You've always got to work hard. You've got to do your best so that you can become the person you want to be. And we're like, you know, my father was really good at this. He would always say, oh, have you heard about so-and-so's child? They've done this, they've done that. And that used to annoy me so much. But what they were trying to do, what they felt was encouragement, was actually discouragement. But their main aim, though, out of all of that, was so that it would encourage me to aspire to be the best that I could be. And my grandmother had a classic saying, my paternal grandmother, she would say to all of us, because we had on my father's side, had a very big family. We were probably, in terms of grandkids, were around 40 odd grandkids. And she would say to all of us, she would say, usually at the dinner, when we were eating dinner, and she would say, Don't say when you grow up that so-and-so is showing off because you have not worked hard yourself. Or don't go and look to buy medicine to go and bewitch somebody else because you're thinking they're showing off because of their hard work. They've accomplished something. And so you haven't. You've wasted your opportunities, but they've taken advantage of their opportunities. And so that was the way my grandmother used to encourage us. But the funny thing is that it rings true. It so rings true in life. We want to be people that build things that last. Not things that last 10 minutes, things that last a year. We want things that would last us a very long time. So that even when for example, when my parents, they're all late now, I still remember and recall the things that they said to encourage me. One of the key things my father said was, don't look for laughter outside of your home. And what he was encouraging me is that your home is the place that needs to be filled with laughter. And there are times you think, oh man, this is not a good place to be, the home. But you remember those words, that as a father, you're responsible for the happiness level in your home. Amen. Last year, with our story, our future, if we move on to the next slide, it's always important to thank people for your generosity. It's really important that, you know, I'm very thankful, we are thankful for the amount of generosity that people in C3 Wellard have towards their church, and most importantly, towards their God, that you went over and above your tithes and you gave your offerings. And I really want to appreciate and to thank God for you guys that you are super generous, and we really welcome that. Last year we budgeted with our story, our future, to bring in 45,000. As of 3 weeks ago, we had nearly $43,000 had come in. Now, you got to understand why this is such a great thing. This is during the uncertainty of COVID, yet people have stretched themselves to say, you know what, we're going to give to what God is doing. If you ever want to participate, if you want to do something with your life, always participate in what God is doing. Find out what God is doing and get involved. And so then, of course, we've spent most of it. Next week, I think there's an updated one because our story, our future from last year ends at the end of this month. And so we will be able to tell you how much money has come in and, you know, what we're spending the money on. So that was a snapshot from the last few weeks. So these are the areas that we've spent the money that was provided to us, building repairs, the solar panels. We paid down our mortgage. We've bought some video equipment, and there's going to be, you know, like now you've got that video camera at the back there. I hadn't seen that. I just saw it just now. And then, as you can see, the back of some of our chairs are very raggedy. They're old. So we've set aside some money so that we can buy the chairs. Because that's, you know, you don't want people to come to you. You want to invite your friends. And as soon as they walk through the door, they see these really tatty chairs. Not a good thing, eh? And then lastly, kitchen equipment. We'll be buying a dishwasher for Wellard. So this is just us trying to be accountable to show everybody how we've used the money that has come through to us. And so, who's heard of King's Park? King's Park? Who's ever been to King's Park? Who likes King's Park? Yeah, very good. Now, King's Park was started in 1829. We're talking nearly 200 odd years ago. 190 something years ago. Two gentlemen, a governor named James Stirling, and a surveyor general, his name was John Rowe. Now, you would know these guys, if everybody, who's been on the Rowe Highway? That's after this Rowe gentleman, Stirling Highway. It's after these two guys. They are the ones who designated certain areas to be certain placed. They designated that area around King's Park to be a public space. And then what happens is that other people came along and built on top of what they did. They added more, and then eventually the place was the name was changed to King's Park. It used to be called the Perth Park, but it was changed to in 1901 to King's Park to make as part of the ascension of King Edward the VII to the British throne. And so that's how King's Park was. And so when we are building things, what happens is that you and I do our bit, and then what's going to happen over the ages is that other people will come along and they will do their bit as well. Every one of us has got a contribution that we can make. And whilst I understand here we're talking about the building, what we want to build, the things that last, we want to build the things that last is people. We want to build people up. We want to make sure that we sow and invest in people's lives because those are the things that are going to last forever. And so I'm just going to get my sister Janine to come very quickly and just talk to us about what's happening with our community stuff. Do you mind giving the mic? Please put your hands together for Miss Janine. Thank you. You can come up. Miss, tell us how's the Friday stuff going?
It's doing well. Well, this Friday all the boxes got finished. Wow. Everybody came to collect because what I did, I actually took photos of what it was and yes. I put it on Facebook. And I suppose people want to see what they're coming for.
Yes.
So when they saw all the fruits and veggies and whatever, so they actually came and collected. And those people, there's a few that can't make to come, so then I go and drop it off for them. I get their addresses and I go drop it off for them at their homes.
Wow, that's fantastic.
But I've got Aaron that's helping and Janet.
Yes.
That's helping and Michael on a Thursday and Stuart on a Friday that comes and helps.
That's fantastic.
That's a real blessing.
Yeah, and how are you finding the interaction with the people on the Friday?
Oh, no, it's quite good. You know, they're very grateful. Some of them are very grateful because, I mean, when they see what they're coming for, you know, it's not like they're coming just for one or two things, you know, driving all the way. When they see what's in the, because what we try and do is like whatever we get, we fill up each and every box with everything.
Mm.
You know, not just that's just a special box or this is, we fill up everything. And the same amount in everything.
Good.
Yeah. You know, so that everybody gets a little bit of everything.
Yep. Wow. That's really good. You know, and this is something that all of us need to get behind because whilst doing what they're doing is part of building things that last. These boxes of fruit are not going to dolls. They're actually going to people and making a difference in people's lives. And you see, what they are doing becomes an access for them to come into contact with the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Because there will come the opportunity one day for people to ask, why do you do this? And they will begin to express the love of God that they have.
Yeah.
And eventually people will start coming and they will come and encounter the Lord because of what they're doing on a Friday. You know? And so we are really thankful that you're leading that area for us. And we're thankful to everybody that is helping you. And so please put your hands together for Janine and the team. Building things that last. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 13, it says, "For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value." And then I'll just go on. "If the work survives and the builder, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames." And so what Paul is saying to us, you know, as he talks about the fire will come through and burn the work, he's talking to Corinthians who understood the illustration that he was trying to give. Because there was a time when in Corinth things were burnt up. There was a fire that ravaged the city. And so all those houses that were built with wood, hay, and straw would obviously have all gone up in a pile of smoke. But those that built their house using the precious stones here refers to marble and granite. Those were the buildings that remained intact because the fire did not destroy those. If you go to ancient Rome today, the reason why it can still be seen today is that most of the buildings were constructed of stone. And so the Romans wanted their greatness to be etched into human history. The Romans wanted everybody to know that we have been here. And so when they built their city, they constructed buildings designed to declare the Caesar's glory forever. They wanted everybody to know that Caesar was powerful and he was strong. And so they built these very magnificent buildings. So you can go to Rome and you will see the Colosseum. Though a lot of the stuff is destroyed, there's a lot of stuff that still remains intact. And so as Paul urged, as he wrote to the Corinthians, he urged them to be careful about how they built their lives. He used this comparison as an illustration. And his point was this. Although all of us as believers have the solid rock of Jesus Christ under their lives, when they build, what they build on top of that foundation is very important. We all are standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ. What we build on that is our responsibility. Are you going to use gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw? Things that last, or things that are easy to put together, but they don't last. The choice is yours of what you're going to do. And I like what Rick Renner says, that the foundation under our lives is Jesus, and I quote, but what we build on top of that foundation depends on our personal commitment and the level of excellence we demand of ourselves in every area of our lives. And so he says, I ask you, are you building something with your life that will be enduring, or are you building so hastily and poorly that everything you've built could go up suddenly in a puff of smoke? We need to be those that build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is what is going to last forever. We need to be able, those that build our lives, not things that are temporal, but things that are lasting. And so I ask you this morning, regardless of your age, look at your life and ask yourself, how am I building my marriage? Now, of course, if you're a young person, you're like, whoop, I'm not married, so I don't have to answer that question. That's fine. But if you are, based on what I'm doing today, will my marriage flourish or will it perish? How am I building my children? Will my children pass the test of life because what I am putting into them? What is it that we're putting in our children? Are we encouraged? Are we building their character? Because we have to understand that talent, if our children are talented, talent can take them to the top, but it's only their character that will keep them at the top. How am I building my relationships? Am I building my relationships so they can stand up against any storm? How am I building our ministry? Are we doing things, quick fixes, we're just putting the patches on stuff? Or are we taking the time to build our ministry right so it will last a lifetime? Is what we are building here something that is going to last a while when we're gone, that they will remember that there were people called that were at opposite in Medina that built this church, and that it's not a church that just fizzles out and dies, but it lasts a long time? That's the church we need to be a part of, building things that last. How am I building my business? Will the steps I'm taking today build a long-term business, or will I later regret that I didn't make longer-lasting decisions? And how am I building my finances? Am I using money in a way to build my future, or am I throwing away my future by being reckless today? And how am I building my health? If I keep doing what I'm doing right now, will I be healthy later in life, or is my present lifestyle jeopardizing my future physical health? Even if you're a young person, married, not married, these questions ring true. You have to ask yourself these questions. Am I going to do the work that's required and use gold, silver, granite, and marble? Or am I going to use wood, hay, and straw? Wood, hay, and straw are things that you can find on the surface. So I could go out there right now and pick up some hay, some straw, some grass, easy to pick up. But things like gold, silver, granite, marble, I have to mine those. And that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. And so the choice is up to you, young person. Am I going to follow what my parents are saying and learn about how to manage my health now and learn how to handle finances, learn how to handle relationships? Because the time is coming when you're going to have to do that all on your own. Have you prepared yourself to be able to do that? Amen. And so a few weeks ago, when I was looking to trying to prepare for this series, I was at a park in Willerton. And I'm at this park, and it was a beautiful park, and they play cricket and they play baseball, all kinds of sports there. And what I saw was some birds. If we can put that slide up, the birds are the evidence. I saw these, what do they call these? Ibises. I saw these ibises. And it made me feel, and also all around you see those trees. There was a lot of, it was probably 6 a.m. And there were lots of birds chirping in the trees and making a whole racket. And it made me think that these birds would not come there if somebody had not deliberately planted this or created this park. If somebody had not taken the time to put some reticulation in the ground and so that the grass is watered because they are getting their nutrients from there. Or if people had not planted those trees, the birds of the air would not be nesting in that space. And so you see, if we are going to build things that last, it's going to be things where people, through, for example, what we're doing through the Port Care Ministry, is it takes an effort for people to get there. The fruit just doesn't pack itself. I wish it would. Somebody has to go pick it up. Somebody's got to sort it and make it available. And so that is telling us that it takes deliberate effort for people to do something. And you know, in this scripture, the Corinthians were trying to follow man's, they were trying to follow man and say, I follow Paul. The other say, I follow Apollos. And what Paul is saying to, what's said to them that each of us has been given a specific work by God to do. So we just did our part. We did the task that was given to us. And so Paul says, I sowed the seed, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. And the foundation that we're going to build C3 Wellard on is the foundation of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified, he died, and he rose again. The foundation we build our lives on is the foundation of Jesus. And so we're going to do the hard stuff so that people would come into this field of ours and begin to find sustenance for them. People would rest in the trees of C3 Wellard and be able to come and flourish in what God is doing through us. Amen? And so this is why we do our story, our future. Because it's not just about the building. And the building is important, and we are grateful that we have our own space. It's just the vehicle by which we enlarge the kingdom of God. It's the location where lives are restored, bodies are healed, and marriages are put back together. It is the space in which fellowship enriches lives and new friendships are forged. This is a place where the word of God is imparted to young people, to old people, and to middle-aged people. This is the place, the building. It's all about the people. People that are saved, which is all of us, and people that need to be saved and will be saved. This is why we do our story, our future, is that we're building the kingdom of God, and there is no better privilege or greater privilege than in building the kingdom of God. Amen? And as we stand, if we can have the team back up, please, as we finish, and please stand to your feet. Can I have the keys as well, thanks. Understanding that our story, our future is something that we do every year. It's something that we do over and above our tithes and our offerings. And as we learn from Pastor Charlie and from Steve Coppin, that it's always going to be a stretch when we look to do this. It's going to stretch us, we're going to step out in faith. But you know, as you step out in faith, what we're believing for in 2022 is that God is going to meet you, that as you step out, God is going to make a way and bring the finances to allow you to be able to meet the commitments and the pledge that you've said you would over the next 12 months.